Podium Audio presents To Snap a Silver Stem, Book 2 of Crystal Bloom, written by Sarah A. Parker, performed by Chelsea Stevens and Troy Duran.
Prologue. Rorden. 18 years ago. Arms crossed, I regard the locked door opposite the entrance to the Northern Tower. Its stone face illuminated by a shard of silver light pierced through a window. A gift from the bitten moon sitting low in the sky. My pocket is heavy, the wall brisk against my back as I listen to Mercy descend the tower's coiled stairwell. Her steps are slow, my patience thin. I can smell the contents of the goblet she's carrying from here. Closing my eyes, I release a heavy sigh, balling my hands into fists. I swallow, drop my head forward, and slam it back against the wall. Hard. The bludgeon of pain ricochets through my skull, rattling my brain, and for a moment, I'm anywhere but here. For just one fucking moment. I drop my head and whip it back, repeating the process. Again. Again.
Hi, Master.
I look to the right, see Mercy emerge from the tower's entrance, breath labored, the apron tied around her waist, still blotched with the mosaic of food stains. She steps into the shaft of light, igniting her rosy hair, freckles stark against her pale skin. Clearing her throat, she extends the crystal goblet.
I'm guessing you can take this off my hands.
I glance at its blushed contents, wanting to snatch the thing and dash the liquid across the floor. My gaze flicks up, catching the condescending glint in hers. Of course. I relieve her of it, the stem fragile in my grip. One squeeze and it would snap. Thank you. Two full words have never sounded so hollow. Mercy gives me a curt nod. I reach into my pocket and withdraw the necklace Erevin gave me moments before I took her life. The crystal, once clear and scintillating, now black. So black it has a cosmic pull, as though you could look into it and see your own horizonless oblivion. I defiled Erevin's gift to her daughter, a shame I'll always bear. Even so, I hold it out, chain bunched in my fist, the jewel swaying back and forth like a morbid pendulum. Mercy's gaze darts to the gem with wary curiosity.
For her?
I nod.
What does it do?
Too much. Too little. She'll look different than she does now. Very different. But she'll be safe to live a normal life. She must never take it off. Do you understand? Her eyes widen.
Never?
Correct. I'm not just hiding her from others, but also from herself.
Do you intend on telling her about the prof-
No, I snap. There will be no speak of gods under this roof, or anything that might lead her toward the truth. No child should be forced to bear that weight. Mercy's jaw moves as she appears to chew on her response, staring at the necklace still dangling from my outstretched hand.
With all due respect,
she finally says,
you need to give that to her yourself.
Blood crackling, I step toward her, jerking my hand forward. Take the fucking necklace, Mercy. That's an order. Lips clamped into a thin line, she meets my stern gaze, releasing a sharp exhale.
Pushy bastard,
she mutters, snatching the pendant. I'm swift to pocket my clenched fist while she studies the debased jewel, the chain. Her attention seems to narrow on the clasp, perhaps noticing the color tone is lighter than all the other metal links.
Iron,
I nod. You can remove the anklet I gave you when she arrived. I assume she's been wearing it day and night.
Of course.
Her snippy response is quickly followed by a grave sigh.
I mean, yes, High Master.
She dips into a half-hearted curtsy. Thank you.